Hello, I'm Jan van der Maal, and this is the International Report. Europe is increasingly worried about the US withdrawing from the transatlantic partnership and minimizing military aid to Ukraine, and at the same time about American President Donald Trump's plans to impose tariffs on a wide range of goods. Brussels announced its own Rearm Europe rearmament plan, and local industries are getting excited that this will mean a boost to their business. There are also suggestions that US arms manufacturers could be excluded from lucrative EU arms purchases. I asked Dr. Alexander Burilkov, who co-authored a report for the Brussels-based think tank Bruegel, called Defending Europe Without the US, how that would go down in Washington.
The Trump administration has made it clear that they would see this very negatively. And in no small part because the U.S.'s own necessity to scale up defense production, of which part of that is to find a way to drive down costs and part of that is to continue having foreign contracts, including to Europe. And of course, if the Trump administration sees it negatively, this will have political and economic consequences, probably with further tariffs and further economic policies targeted at the European Union. So that's something to be definitely aware of going forward. And the second thing is practical, which is the question of how do we turn this money? And it's not just 800 billion euros at the EU level. We will also see increases by the individual member states. For instance, Germany is intending to spend substantially more on defense, though that's another significant pot of money. They're probably looking at 200 billion euros at least from the Germans in the coming years. And the question is that money is one thing, but you can print all the euros you want. You cannot print tanks, shells, aircraft, and all these things. So turning this money into procurement orders and then turning these procurement orders into concrete military capabilities is a challenge in and of itself because the European defense industrial base has been substantially hollowed out by the long petite dividend following the end of the Cold War. So finding ways to produce at scale what Europe needs in this very short time frame that we have, which is, let's say, 5 years, is going to actually be relatively difficult without reaching outside of the continent for military purchases. And of course, there are perhaps less controversial partners such as South Korea. But at the same time, one cannot avoid the fact that from a practical point of view, there are a fair amount of capabilities and also a fair amount of components that go into the weapons systems themselves on which Europe is still dependent on the United States. And scaling up European defense capabilities without purchasing American equipment is going to be very difficult from a practical point of view going forward.
Now, what kind of weapons are we talking about? If you look at France, for instance, they seem to produce their own arms. There's the Mistral fighter planes that are nuclear submarines, the Leclerc tanks, the Caesar howitzer, of course. Germany has its own Rheinmetall arms manufacturer, which is a global giant. So what U.S. weaponry are we looking at here?
France is kind of the outlier in Europe because it is very much self-reliant in many aspects, and it can be even more self-reliant. For instance, the Rafale uses a couple of American components, but these could be made locally. So for France, this is not a challenge so much. The problem lies in the fact that France cannot supply all of Europe, especially not for land warfare capabilities. And other European weapon systems and industrial bases rely much more on the U.S. So, for instance, the Eurofighter is about 25% American in components. The Swedish Gripen is almost 40%, including the engines. When it comes to things like air defense, the only real game in town here for strategic air defense is either the French SAMPT or the American Patriot. And if one wants to procure strategic air defense at scale, including the missiles, that makes it very difficult to do so without the Patriot. When it comes to naval capabilities, for instance, all sorts of American components are involved. So some of these high-end capabilities, it would be difficult to entirely do it alone. And of course, there's also the political question of whether all member states see it this way. For instance, Poland is supposed to take a very central role in European defense, which makes sense for a great number of reasons, but the Poles don't have the same some functions about buying American as others. So it's not impossible, but the question is, will it be something that all member states can agree on? And is it feasible to truly fully replace the U.S.?
Now, your report says that U.S. military support to the Ukraine mounted to $64 billion since the beginning of the Russian invasion, just $2 billion more than Europe with $62 billion. You say that if Europe were to compensate for the U.S. in case of Washington decides to stop everything, that would then mount to 0.12% of their GDP. But how can they do that without access to the U.S. military industrial base?
Replacing the U.S. defense industrial base is one challenge, and the other one will be replacing some of these very high-end American strategic enablers like satellites and command and control, which have played such a fundamental role in the war. I mean, we have this recent article in the New York Times that details the level of support and planning that the U.S. provided for Ukraine. So that is something that is not necessarily easy to replace as well. Satellites, Europe does have some capabilities, but not to the scale that the U.S. does, of course. It is replaceable, but not necessarily in the short term. At the lower end of things, though, if we are just talking about capabilities to enable the Ukrainians to continue fighting and to prevent Russian breakthroughs and a return to maneuver warfare on the part of the Russians, the nature of modern conflict, which is so dominated by drones, means that the Ukrainians are actually well prepared to continue resisting. So it's not impossible, but it wouldn't be the same as having the U.S. in the game. That is for sure in the near term.
That was Dr. Alexander Burilkov, and from me, Jan van der Made, goodbye.